At the end of the introductory rites for Holy Mass, remember, right before we sit down and settle into the readings with the Liturgy of the Word, we have an opening prayer, which is one of the variable parts of the Mass that goes with the particular day being celebrated. This opening prayer is called Collecta in Latin, because it collects the themes of the Mass of the day in one super long Latin sentence. And you know, they are notoriously difficult to translate into English because the original Latin is concise in a way that is just really hard to render as pithily in English. In the extraordinary form, many of the collects come from some of the earliest collections of liturgical prayer called sacramentaries that we have. Our ordinary form that we're celebrating right now retains only 13% of them in their original form. Another 35% are edited in some way. And the other collects in our ordinary form either come from other ancient sacramentaries or are new compositions based on old ones. Now, unfortunately, I think many people barely pay much attention at all to these amazing prayers from the Mass, much less think to use them in their daily life. Now, the Anglican tradition has the collect for their liturgy as well, and many of our Anglican brothers and sisters actually use those prayers as part of their daily life, and sometimes even memorizing them. I still remember some of those collects from the prayer book even today that come almost spontaneously to mind because they were such a part of our tradition growing up. It's a way of liturgy carrying over into life. And you know, there's no reason at all why Catholics can't and shouldn't do the same. You know, many people have these little magazines that come out every month called the Magnificat, right? It's a great resource. There's Benedictus for the extraordinary form. Some people will buy a missal that has all the readings and the prayers of the Mass. And if you do that, then you can pray over those collects. And of course, we are living in the 21st century, so of course there is also an app for that. You will not be surprised to hear. Now, I've been a priest for almost 20 years, and one thing that I've always wanted to do that whole time is to preach on the collects, because they are so rich in meaning and can be incredibly fruitful for the spiritual life. Apparently, I've mentioned this before and never got around to it. After the 5 o'clock Mass yesterday, one of our parishioners, who's one of our founders, came up to me and said, "Father, you said you were going to do that 12 years ago. It's about time." So here we are. So this liturgical year, I would like to preach on the collects for what we call the tempi forti, the strong times, the penitential seasons of Advent and Lent. Today's prayer that we just heard in the ordinary form, it's a new composition based on the sacramentary linked to Pope Gelasius. We're going to be hearing his name a lot during this sermon series, who reigned from 492 to 496. On this first Sunday of Advent and a new year of grace, we ask God for the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at your coming. Advent is about the three comings of Christ. The first coming in the Nativity, the second coming at our particular judgment at the moment of our death, and the last coming at the end of time. Now note that in all of these prayers during the Advent season, there's one thing that is strikingly absent: fear. We're supposed to run, not even walk, to meet him. But the church recognizes that for a whole variety of reasons, sometimes we are afraid. And so she puts on the lips of her children this prayer that we may strengthen the will to have the resolve to meet Christ in the encounter of grace. It's a way for us to overcome fear, guilt, and shame, as well as laziness, hesitance, and indolence. The prayer also asks that we be gathered at his right hand. Remember, the Lord had already spoken of the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. There is this sifting, this separation between God's faithful and those who have chosen damnation. We also pray that we may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Now, we know that we are not, by our fallen nature, worthy, but God, in his mercy, makes us worthy by the free gift of his grace, which flows forth from the Christian life in good works. You know, the base of this prayer comes over 1,000 years before Martin Luther and John Calvin, and is actually one that an honest Protestant would actually find really difficult to pray. Because this prayer recalls the Catholic doctrine that we are made in the image and likeness of God. You're not going to find the Calvinist doctrine of absolute depravity in this prayer or any other prayer in our Catholic liturgy. While we recognize that all goodness comes from God, we really do participate in the divinity of Christ through the life of grace. As the old saying goes, God does not call the qualified, but qualifies the called. And so he makes worthy what was not worthy. We are changed by that encounter with Christ, the Anointed One. He doesn't just kind of look at us and hold his nose and try not to smell the putrefaction, right? He makes us worthy. And because of that, we become, as the Catechism teaches about the sacrament of baptism, children of God and heirs to heaven. As St. Augustine preached, when God crowns our merits, he crowns nothing other than his own gifts. In the extraordinary form that we celebrate at noon, the collect goes like this. Stir up thy power, we beseech thee, O Lord, and come, that from the threatening dangers of our sins we may deserve to be rescued by thy protection and to be saved by thy deliverance. The Sunday before Advent, that collect begins in the same way. And in medieval England, was actually called Stir Up Sunday. Because when you heard that in church, then you knew that it was time to start stirring the ingredients for the Christmas pudding, right? So you heard it here first, go home and start making your Christmas pudding, right? As the Benedictine monk Dom Guéranger wrote, the whole world is in expectation of its Redeemer. Come, dear Jesus, show yourself to it by granting us salvation. The church, your bride, is now commencing another year. And her first word is to you, a word which she speaks in the anxious solicitude of a mother for the safety of her children. She cries out to you, saying, come. We'll go no farther in our journey through the desert of this life without you, O Jesus. Time is passing quickly away from us. Our day is perhaps far spent, and the shades of our life's night are fast coming on. Arise, divine Son of Justice, come, guide our steps, and save us from eternal death. Now, incidentally, this collect that I just read was in use for over 1,200 years until 1970. And what's called the stational church, where the Pope would say Mass on this day, right? We have the stations of the cross, right? Station comes from the Latin word statio, means you stop and you do something, you stop and pray. The Pope would stop and celebrate Mass in the various churches of Rome, and it was traditional to do it in a certain church on a certain day. So on this day, the stational church was St. Mary Major, where the relic of the crib of our Lord is kept under the high altar. These aren't just meaningless details for liturgy nerds, right? There's something incredibly beautiful about this because as a church, in union with the Pope, we actually open Advent with a sign that it is a preparation for Christmas as much as it is a preparation for the end of the world. Now, our ordinary form hasn't gotten rid of this collect. It's just moved it to Friday of the first week of Advent. So if you join us for Mass at 7 a.m. on Friday, you'll hear that one there too. I'd mentioned the importance of the collects for our Anglican brothers and sisters, and I would be remiss if I didn't make reference to the collect that Thomas Cranmer wrote in 1549 for the first edition of the Book of Common Prayer. Now, you may be sitting there thinking this morning, okay, I know Father was gone on pilgrimage for a few days, but you're coming back and quoting Protestant worship texts. What has happened, right? There's a reason for this, as you'll see. First of all, because it forms a part of Divine Worship, the Missal, which is a Catholic liturgical text approved for use in the ordinariates for former Anglicans who had become Catholic. And so that means that that incredible heritage of English spiritual language is now a fully part of our Catholic tradition as well. And this prayer is so famous that centuries of English-speaking Christians committed it to memory, and also, in its own way, brings together many of the themes of our Advent journey. And so I'd like to share it with you this morning. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to life immortal. Cranmer quotes St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13, verse 12, cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Advent is a time of conversion from sin towards the illumination and protection that faith in Christ Jesus gives us. The prayer connects us with the incarnation by which the flesh of the God-man redeems us and reminds us that our judgment at the end of time will be by God's majesty. And that those of us who persevere to the end in righteousness will win the crown of immortality by the free gift of God. If you can't tell, there's a lot going on in Advent. It really is my favorite liturgical season of the year. I always look forward to this Sunday. It's way too short. But you can see all of these themes that are going on in the public worship of the church's prayers. And so my earnest desire for us as a parish family this Advent is that by paying close attention to these ancient prayers, we may be resolved to run forth to meet Christ as God stirs up his mercy to help us cast off the works of darkness, to walk, to run into light and life eternal.